At least a day ahead of schedule, jurors in the pepper spray trial in San Francisco have now been handed the case, and KMUD News had a chance to speak with attorney for the plaintiffs, Tony Serra, after the case had concluded the closing arguments. While waiting to talk with Mr. Serra on the phone, we could hear a lot of laughter in the hallway, and when we finally got a chance to speak with him, I asked him, were they feeling optimistic?
The ambience is, feeling good, and that's a good sign, but in this litigation, I don't know what you want to call it, everything is unsettled until the jury really comes back, and I've been waiting for juries all my life, and if you, I guess it's like superstition, but you do not celebrate until you actually get the verdict on your side. Otherwise, you just set yourself up for a psychological depression. So although the ambience, let's say, is jovial, my mood is still somber.
Well, Tony, let me ask you now, when I talked with you last week, you were also being very careful, saying that the other side had their approach, and it basically it almost sounded like a toss-up to some degree, even though you yourself believe very strongly in the plaintiff's case. How would you say the closing arguments fared in that respect?
I mean,
I have two deficits. One is I'm too close to it, and two, it's civil. So given those qualifications, let me wax and wane.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that there was four of us that made presentations. Each of us covered a separate area, so to speak. And I thought that for the most part, we were passionate, we were eloquent, and we covered everything, and we did a great job. Then I heard Delaney. And Delaney, and she's the only one who gave it. Although she didn't represent all the defendants, she gave the closing. And she is, I'll call it Orwellian double think or double talk. So, she inverted everything, and she's got a very dogmatic, authoritative, domineering approach. And so if there's members of the jurors who would submit to her kind of manifestation of authority and her swaggering kind of diction, it still could be very close. On the other hand, after the jurors were released for lunch, several of them, and were very scenic and loud, contingent of people, and they were all out in the hall together, and they made a point of walking right through us, smiling at us, and even asking woman who does for us, who does courtroom drawings, for they wanted to see the pictures afterwards. Like, we didn't solicit anything. I didn't say a word, but they kind of made that gesture. And then I saw that their mood, the jurors' mood, was happy. And that's always a good sign. You see, if they have to defeat someone who's very idealistic, if they have to defeat your objective, if they have to rule against you, and you're passionate and you're committed, they're silent. They are not outgoing. They're not garrulous. They're not, they don't manifest. They hold back. And so I saw that man like I see sunshine. So it's made me very, very optimistic. But I'm a guarded, cynical old lawyer, and so until it really happens, I hold my breath.
Well, let me just help you be a little bit more pessimistic and throw in there, is it possible they're just happy because this is ending earlier than you all thought?
That it will come back earlier?
Yeah. No. I'm wondering, do you think they just were smiling because...
They saw our crowd, and they should have avoided it. And I didn't even see them until they were walking through us. And that means that's a good thing.
Well, let me ask you, any idea at all how long it's going to take them, given that kind of a mood?
Here's what we had an abbreviated case. The judge limited us to 13 and then gave us two more hours, 15 hours. We did it almost like a television production where they put a whole trial in, I guess, in a half hour, an hour. And therefore, and the issues are very limited, you know, was it reasonable, was it excessive, were there reasonable alternatives, what are the damages, and so I expect by the end of this week, if not tomorrow, we're going to have a verdict, or it's going to hang. This case could hang.
If it takes longer than a day or two, would it be your guess that it's going towards a hanging party?
That would be a safe generalization, but obviously, you know, you don't know if it's 7-1, and they're pounding on without one person, why then it could last more than 2 days, and that person could collapse. So it's really what the division is. Remember, last time was 4-4. So 4-4 is really a stalemate. No one's going to give up because they have others, you know, who are supporting their view. I think this is my hopeful, you know, best inference. We have the majority right now, and the majority will convince the minority, and we will get it. But that is my guarded, you know, optimism.
Tony, one other thing that I didn't bring up during the trial, but I'm assuming you were not able to make any reference to torture. However, in today's world with images of torture from Iraq and everything, do you think that that might... have played any kind of...
There's a lot of noise here, so I think I only heard part of it, but Dennis Cunningham, in his final closing, made the analogies to Iraq. He qualified it by, you know, saying, obviously, we're not on that magnitude, but he also warned the jury very forcefully that, you know, if you allow even small police brutality, if you allow this pepper spray to be used as a weapon against peaceful people, you are going in that direction, and it must be stopped, and he kept using this metaphor. They've gone over the line. You pull them back. You don't allow this, you know, in the free society. I thought Dennis was really great.
And did Nancy Delaney respond to that at all? Oh, that was in his rebuttal.
That was in his final rebuttal.
Okay.
She responded by objecting about every, you know, 3 minutes and standing up and injecting herself and her position into the case. She's forceful but duplicitous. And I just hope the jury sees that.
And that was Tony Serra representing the plaintiffs in the pepper spray trial. Again, Nancy Delaney representing the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department and the Eureka Police Department in that case. And, of course, we will keep you posted on when the jury comes back with their verdict. In the meantime, another activist who was one of the plaintiffs spoke with KMUD News on this Tuesday. He's Sam Neuwirth. Now, he has actually been a longtime resident of the Humboldt County area, a landowner in the Bayside area, and a farmer. And he told KMUD News that the whole issue of the use of pepper spray on activists has been, in his words, in the twilight zone for so many years, finally being able to testify and have the case come to a conclusion felt like completion.
The direct action really wasn't complete till today. You know, so I'm taking a big breath and feeling really grateful that I got to speak out and got to give it, you know, my best.
Sam, tell us a little bit about your involvement in these protests.
Well, I was a novice that had been living in Humboldt for a lot of years before Maxim took over, and I became motivated to join the protests after being on the sidelines a real long time, but watching cumulative impacts affect the area I was living in increased flooding was one of the first things that motivated me, because I had noticed that from doing my own flood studies to get residential building projects approved, and the floods were so many times over the established baseline that I had been studying that it was it was just evident that that was something relating to clear cuts and siltation. And I had friends. A friend in particular was a lifelong employee of PL, and he was there right around the time the buyout was happening, ready to retire from being a journeyman welder, and his pension got stolen. So, you know, it's things like that that I saw that got me involved.
And then you wound up being in, a part of this historic lawsuit. Now, in your estimation, Sam, do you think that justice will be served by this trial?
Well, I think it's always a tough call to know if justice is going to be served in a court of law with, where a lot of rulings can be made that can hinder an even presentation, and we certainly had some of those, and the other side had some. And it's a tough system. It's not the best system, but it's what we got. I think justice is sort of an ongoing process. You can't ever really give up. You have to continue to confront power. It's going to take on many different guises, many different masks. You win a little, it can get stripped at a higher court. There's a lot of arbitrary power in the hands of judges. And so you never really win. You just keep going.
What's your take on this particular trial, what it was like to be there? I know you were saying it was kind of emotional for you to get it to the point of handing it to the jury, but overall, what was it like?
Well, overall, it was really inspiring. It was inspiring because we had so many dedicated attorneys, you know, the Judy Berry, Daryl Turney team, and so many dedicated activists, and to come together like that is empowering and hopeful, and everyone was really in it for the greater good. You know, no one was in it for any ulterior motive, any sort of money thing. Some of our lawyers don't even have a dime and don't want a dime. And that type of solidarity, it's a good omen. It's a good omen for the struggle in environmental movements and in any kind of movement that is going on today. We need that. It's there.
And true to his nonviolent and compassionate principles, Sam Neuert voiced the hope that people understood it wasn't just the activists who were hurt by those incidents in 1997.
You know, one thing that I think people might want to think about is that even the cops got dragged down into a really ugly place by this. And that, and if you want to call them torturers, you have to realize that that doesn't free them from the pain of what happened, and their people too. And so we all go down the wrong road, you know. And they're one of the most tragic figures. They shouldn't be unnecessarily hated. They need to be redirected, and they need to be shepherded to do the bidding of the people. But they also need to be respected for trying as best they can. And so don't hate them.
And that was Sam Neuert, one of the plaintiffs in the pepper spray trial. He had the pepper spray applied to his eyes at the headquarters of the Pacific Lumber Company in Scotia in 1997. And again, we will keep you posted on when the jurors come back.